Hi, my name is Charlotte Armitage and welcome to Objects. Today I'm joined by David McCallum, who goes by his ring name Ravy Davy. He is a professional wrestler, TikTok superstar, and the owner of Community Pro Wrestling School in Govan. Hello, Davy. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Charlotte. Thanks for having us.
Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
What's happening, troops? My name is David McCallum, but better known as, I wouldn't say my wrestling name, I'll just say it's my stage name, probably, even though I don't perform up on stage exactly, but it is my alter ego, my other persona, just basically who I am when I am performing, whether that be in the ring as a wrestler, on TikTok or on social media, when I'm on stuff like podcasts, obviously, usually I always try and be myself, but sometimes Ravy Davy will come out. So that's kind of my performing name, as I would say. But today I'm probably going to be talking a bit more as David McCallum, because this is a more personable podcast, talk about maybe my time in care and things like that, and my life growing up. So that is who I'm at, and I'm glad to be here today, so thank you for having me. I would say as well, no to correct you, not to make you feel bad, but it's the Community Pro Wrestling is my wrestling company that I run, also run the Glasgow School of Wrestling. No, that's not, don't be that. A lot of people get that mixed up, because it's basically, I try and keep the two brands separate, because one's for the events and one's to teach people how to wrestle, and I don't want them getting mixed up, even though both of them being wrestling related, it's going to get, probably does confuse quite a lot of people. I've also just started a brand for parties called Suplex Celebrations as well, so people probably think that's part of the...
Cool.
They are kind of all under the one umbrella, but I just try and keep the names separate and
for sure, it makes
for
sense.
Promotional values and stuff.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Sorry.
No, don't worry. So we're about to move on to the actual meat of the podcast, but one thing that we do for all guests is we want to go through the sort of process that you went on and finding them. And was there a process? Was it something that came to you quite quickly? And how did you decide to bring the objects that you decided to bring?
Well, I actually had the three objects in my mind, but I thought I wouldn't be able to find the ones that I wanted to, except for one of them, because I just won the one the other day. But the other ones, I'm not going to get in there, but one had to go up to the loft and get it. Now, because I've been very busy, I'm not going to lie, at first I was, I couldn't be bothered to go and do it, but then the day I just thought, I need to give yous the respect that yous deserve, is yous having me on, and the respect to the listeners and that as well, not to sound rude, but I've had a very, very busy 4 weeks, and this has kind of came at the tail end of it, so I've been wanting to relax all week, and I end up just, but now the what's it called? I ended up going up and getting up. Basically, I went and got out the loft because I wanted to give you the respect that you deserve. And it's going to help tell the story, my story as well anyway, so it's better for that. But at first, I was just going to pick a couple of photos and just say, this is what these mean to me, but I actually went and got the items. One of them is a photo, would be fair, but it does mean a lot to me.
Well, thank you for coming at the end of an extremely busy 4 weeks. Like, that's really good for us as well. We appreciate you being here. But on that, then, would you tell us a little bit about your first object?
Do you want to bring them up?
Yeah, it'd be good, so we can see them on the cameras as well.
So this is the one that I went up and found. This is probably my most important item to me. Even though it's dug away up in the loft, but the reason it's dug away up in the loft is because I've got ADHD and I lose things all the time. I'm very bad for
I know that struggle. I've got ADHD as well.
And this is not my prized possession, but this means more than anything to me in the world. And this is my wee key ring chain called Nessie. So it's a wee key ring of the Loch Ness Monster. And when I was a wee boy, I bought this for my nana. Bought this for my wee granny, my nana, Betty, when I was in Pitlochry, away somewhere with my school, and I was just a wee boy, and I'd spent most of my money to get her it, and my nan was really proud of me doing that, and my new nan has passed away, God rest her soul, but she kind of gave everything to me in life, and this just is my wee thing that I've got to remember her by. Obviously I've got hundreds of memories to remember my nan by, obviously I don't really need a wee item to remember her by, but this is just, this is what she carried on her keys. She carried this on her keys for the day that she got it, and she hid it until the day that she died, and once she passed away, obviously I got it off the keys and I kept it, and it's something that I hold really dear to my heart, because it just reminds me of how much me and my nana loved each other. And my nana went through a lot because of me. I was quite a bad boy growing up. I didn't really behave a lot because I lost my mum when I was quite young. I lost my mum when I was 6 years old, and I blamed my nana for it. It was my nana who I blamed for me losing my mum, because I had to stay with my nana, so she just got the blame of it, because my mum committed suicide as well when I was 6 years old. Nobody really told me my mum committed suicide. I just got told it was an accident, so I never really got given any reason. So that was kind of, I didn't really know what had happened. My head was all over the place. So I just blamed my nana for it. And then obviously as the years went on, the relationship got better. But my nana put up through me being badly behaved, getting kicked out of schools. I'll get kicked out of 6 different primary schools when I was growing up, and 2 different high schools. I was in St. Mary's Secure Unit for my bad behaviour. I used to act out, used to wreck the house, used to hang about in gangs, gang fight, fight in school, just all these different things, and it used to obviously stress my nana right out, and it was not really something that she really should have had to deal with as an older woman who'd retired, and she'd retired, and then because she had me, she had to go back and work and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So just all the stuff that my nana put in me, I didn't really see that until I got out of St. Mary's Secure Unit, when I seen her travelling all the way up to see me and all these different things, and just how much she actually cared about me, even though I had just always been not really appreciative of it. And this is really the one time that, as a young boy when I was blaming her, I realised that I must have appreciated her, because I bought that when I was about primary 5 or 6, and that was about a year or 2 after my nana died, and I really did blame my nana. No blame her, but she was the one that go all the blame. You blame the place, you hurt the people closest to you.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
And my nana got a lot of the hatred, not the hatred, but a lot of the anger and the rage of my mum dying, that would get really took out on her. And now I realised that she was, obviously, I'd realised before she passed away, the last 4 years of her life, I'd stopped being badly behaved. I'd got myself an apprenticeship. Because my nana told me in St. Mary's, like, if I keep getting out of trouble again, if I'm back in any more places, like, she's not going to help me anymore. She didn't like me or anything like that. She didn't love me, but she couldn't date anymore. She was an old woman, and she had to leave me to obviously live her life. So after that, I got my finger, I got a job, an apprenticeship, and for the last 4 years of my life, I looked after my nana, and that was me realising that she was the most important person in my life. She's done everything for me, and that's why that means so much to me, because it reminds me of the greatest person that I've ever known in my entire life, my wee nana, Betty, my Sherry, the Govan Granny.
Well, that's lovely. I wanted to just kind of rewind just for the benefit of the listeners.
I know that's gave you a full montage.
No, that was brilliant. There's a lot to talk about there, but just for the benefit of the listeners, some people might not know what a secure unit is.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about what a secure unit is?
So secure unit is like, am I right in saying it's a step up for a home, isn't it? No, I mean, it's not quite a home. Obviously a home you can go out and still get to live like an active life, and that was a secure unit. You're locked inside. You can still socialise with people, and that's not quite a jail, but I'm going to use the word, it's halfway between a jail and...
You've not got the same freedom as you would have
you've
had.
Not got the same freedom. You're locked up at night. You can't just go and do what you want to do. You've got people supervising you, but it's more, it is still in a care system, but it's the last step before you would go somewhere to like a Pullman or a Berlin if you don't make the... Why it was not me.
Sure. I think it's just really interesting that you got to that point, because obviously there was a young man or a young boy who had gone through so much loss and so much change in such a dramatic period of time. Like, it's understandable actually that all these things that you were talking about happened, you know. You could kind of see a sort of path, like And it's amazing that, like you said, that relationship with your Nana stayed sort of so strong, even amongst all the sort of things that were happening. You know, she stood by you, and that's kind of like what you'd expect from a caregiver anyway, you know. But yeah, it's really powerful to hear how even now that sort of relationship has such a big impact on you and is the thing that you wanted to come and talk about first and foremost in this.
Well, that's podcast. What I'm saying, because I got a wee picture of my Nana and I could have spoken about that, but I just felt like this is what reminds me of my Nana more than anything. This is... I love that wee thing that stones daft, you know what I mean? But I love that this wee silly daft puppet, the Loch Ness Monster. Anybody else know this means nothing, but to me it means everything.
Well, that's why this objects is important, as it could have been easy to bring something in that you would expect or want from me to bring in, you kind of thing, but it is about what's important to you and what signifies the most like love and powerful connection to you, you know, that, like you said, just looking at, for me, I don't know that story, but the reason that you're here is to tell that story through that like plushy Loch Ness Monster. I think that's really powerful. So you went into secure care and then you went on to getting an apprenticeship and you said sort of sorting your life out. What was that like for you? Did I take it like a sort of switch?
I hated every day, man. I hated every single day of my apprenticeship. I just hated every day of the apprenticeship because I didn't know, it wasn't a job that I wanted to do. It was a fabricating welder, so a blacksmith. I was like making steel and welding it together and that. But it was the first job that I got offered coming out of secure unit. My social workers and that were helping me. My Nana was so proud of me, you know what I mean? And obviously, all the years of her, she probably put up with a lot more shit than that me. Can I swear?
Yeah,
I
yeah, of course. On you go.
My bad. Am I actually? It's not, but
no, you are. We had people swearing before.
Would you rather me no swear? Because I can try it. I'll try my hardest.
No, genuinely.
I'll try my
hardest
not
totally
to swear anyway, because to be fair, I shouldn't be doing that. No, I mean, I'm a role model to children and stuff. Like, I don't know how many kids in my school might end up watching this or something like that. Never mind the people use. So I should know better, to be honest, but sometimes I just get a wee bit lost to myself. Sentence enhancers and it's not in a bad way. But I put up my Nana put up with so much crap. For me, I'm sure I could put up with getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning and travelling through Huddingston and doing something that I like today. So I done that for 4 years. But as soon as that was done, that was when I wanted to be a wrestler, but that's a different story. But I did hate every minute. I didn't like going to work, I didn't like being a welder, but my Nana was so proud of it, so as I said, I just kept doing it and doing it. But the change, it did keep me, it kept me out of trouble, it kept me, the social workers always used to say I was a good boy, I just didn't have anything to do because I had trauma and stuff like that, that sitting about my own thoughts or sitting about, like, I grew up in a gang. Well, I didn't grow up in a gang, but I ended up joining a couple of gangs and that in the old gang fighting days and Glasgow and stuff. And obviously I'd get myself out of trouble because of the people that I'd surround myself by and stuff like that. So the social workers said it wasn't really that I was badly behaved. I was just easily led.
Absolutely.
And I was kind of just trying to fit in. Obviously I lost my mum at a young age and I just wanted to be accepted. And because of that, I would just go and get myself out of trouble. So having an apprenticeship, I wouldn't really get myself out of trouble because I was always at work or... when I was in the work, I was starting to get girlfriends and that at the time, so I would always be kind of occupied. And then obviously looking after my Nana's health was starting to deteriorate a bit then. That's what we all say in my family, so I used to keep my Nana on her toes, you know what I mean? Because once I started behaving and stuff like that, her health started deteriorating. Obviously it's just a wee funny joke, probably isn't actually the case. But she did start to be a bit... just get more old and be a bit, just getting old age, you know what I mean? Just kind of keeping up on you. But but the apprenticeship, just it wasn't for me.
But wrestling was obviously, so where did wrestling come in and all of this? Was something that was big,
so
even as
actually
a child?
Or? Still caused my Nana. So my Nana, I went to wrestling, I seen wrestling school, and my Nana had cancer at the time. So she was... obviously very unwell in the hospital and stuff, and I went to this wrestling school because I was kind of thinking of ways to try and make my Nana proud and stuff like that of me, because like obviously she was proud of the apprenticeship, but I wanted to do something that I knew that she'd know I loved as well, because she knew I didn't like it, and she'd always say, you don't need to do it for me, son, not at all, but the apprenticeship. But I still, as I said, I wanted to at least get the papers and say that I had done it. I didn't just want to give up. So I looked up and I seen a wrestling school. My cousin's Andy, my tag team partner, he actually looked up one. We went together and it was like a 6-hour class or something like that. It was like a 6-hour class, and when I came out, I'd had missed it over 100 phone calls. So I thought my nana was dead, and I panicked. I phoned out, but just people looking for me, because I wasn't really keeping the best at that time either. I've obviously, when I was younger, my mum passed away and stuff. I'd like used to like self harm and try and commit suicide and stuff like that. So with that, when my nana being no well, people were obviously worried about me thinking I was going to do something stupid. So with that, nobody knowing where I was, I told them, but obviously they probably weren't thinking through that either. They probably, he's got a wrestling, they bothered, didn't really understand it. So I came out and I thought my nana was dead, and then I just said, I was like, I can't go here, I can't go and do something for 6 hours while my nana's not well. So while that happened, I just didn't go to the wrestling. But when I went, I mean, I'd got one picture from it, and I went and I took it to my nana and I showed her it, and she'd been not well for weeks. She wasn't really listening to anybody, wasn't really talking to anybody, and I showed her this picture and she like just put a big smile on her face and she started smiling. I was like, this is what I need to do, but I can't do it now. So my nana passed away with cancer. She'd left me, my sister, my two wee cousins, £250 of the money. So when that was happening, I seen a new wrestling school had opened, and I watched this documentary about Grado. I seen Grado in the documentary, and I thought, if he can do that, I used to always think this, I always say this to Grado, but it's like, he's bigger than me, he's a bigger boy than me, and I'm funnier than him. If he can do this, I can do this. Now that I've met Grado, the Popofus are probably the same size, and he's much funnier than I am. But at the time, I had quite a big ego, and I thought I was the shit. It was twice now, I shouldn't be saying that. I thought it was the business, so I obviously thought it was better, but probably, you know, I didn't agree that Grado is the man. It was actually a show. I don't know if you know who Grado is, but he's the top wrestler in Scotland. He's my favourite wrestler. But he actually, I'm going on a tangent here, but just because I seen him wrestle, I just thought I could do it. And then I seen an advert online for a place called the Glasgow Pro Wrestling Asylum, and they were doing a beginner's course for like £250. That was how much my nana left me. So I was like, this is a sign I need to go and do this. So I went to it, and I'd done the 8-week course, and it turned out I was actually pretty good at it, and I've not really ever since looked back. From the day I started, I wrestled my first match like 6 months later. I was wrestling for ICW in Newcastle. ICW used to be the biggest wrestling company in Scotland. I've wrestled in the Hydro, I've wrestled in the O2, the other O2 that's burnt down, the Barras, I've wrestled in England, Scotland. I don't know why I said England first there, obviously I've wrestled in Scotland, I've wrestled in venues, but I don't know why I said Scotland again, to be fair, obviously I've wrestled in Scotland. But I've wrestled in England, Wales, Northern Ireland, Ireland, I just wrestled in Belgium a couple of weeks ago. It's been really good, the wrestling, and now because I own the wrestling school and the wrestling company, I've actually made a full-time living from it, which is quite hard for a lot of people in the wrestling world to do, especially on an independent level. So if you're not signed to a major company. So the wrestling's went really well, and it's all thanks to my nana, because I just had to do something that I could do me up proud. I knew I wasn't always going to do well, and I just knew I could feel in my heart and soul that it wasn't for me. And I had to do something that I could. And I feel like if I could talk to my nana then, and I could show her that I was doing the wrestling, I feel like she'd be pretty proud of me. I feel like if I could show everything I was doing, she would be very proud of me, to be honest.
Because
everything I've done is, I think, what she just wanted. I've done more than she could ever wanted for me. She just wanted me to be a good boy with a good wee job and a good wee family. And I feel like I've got a really good job that I've dreamt all my life, where I bought a house and a family and all these things that my nana probably never even imagined for me. Inspiring people, hate saying the word, not I mean people call me famous and stuff like that. My nana, I think she'd be so proud of that. And
that's
kind of what I've just, since my nana passed away, that was my goal, make her proud for beyond the grave. And to actually be able to say I've done that, not I mean I know deep down that she would be. Obviously, life's not done yet. Who knows where the world's going to go? I could end up doing something stupid that she wouldn't be as happy with. But right now, at this moment, if I was to meet wee Betty McCallum now, she'd give me a cuddle and she'd tell me she's proud of me.
What an achievement as well. That must feel like the absolute world for
I've always, when I was growing up, I thought I was going to be a statistic. No, I mean, no, didn't have a lot of hopes of myself. Even though I've always been proud of myself. I've always had kind of main character syndrome, and I've always felt that there's meant to be something bigger and better for me. There's always been a lot of time I've doubted it as well, because I got told off teachers I wasn't going to meet any of my life, got told off family members I wasn't going to meet any of my life, these kind of things. So to finally just have turned it on and to be able to say a few people but not actually have to do it, you know what I mean? Is a good thing.
Absolutely. So we've kind of touched on a little bit of your sort of during and aftercare in that conversation there, but we'll move on to the second object that you've got with you today. And if you could tell us a little bit about that.
So these three objects are the three most important things in my life. So anybody who didn't make it, I apologise. But the second thing is, so I've got this belt, right? So this is the CPW Heavyweight Championship belt for the wrestling company that I own. So this isn't just the belt, but this signifies like wrestling. And wrestling, obviously, to me, it means so much to me, because when my mother passed away when I was 6 years old, when she committed suicide, low about depression, whatever you want to call it, it was wrestling that kind of was my escape. It was wrestling that for basically 24/7, I'd think about my mum being dead. People used to say I was my mum's wee shadow. I used to follow her about everywhere for the first 6 years of my life. And then she passed away. She unfortunately did whatever she did. And the only thing we used to actually stay in the same close. It was me. My house was in the middle. My nana was upstairs, and my sister, my uncle was across from it. And we used to live in the middle one. So after my mum passed away, I didn't believe that my mum could be dead when I was 6 years old. I didn't think that was something that happened. I didn't believe that my mum could actually die, so I thought like people were having a joke, having a laugh with me, you know what I mean? So I didn't believe it, so I used to just sit outside my mum's door waiting for her to come back. It was kind of morbid, you know what I mean? Kind of sad, but that used to break my nana's heart. I would just sit there and wait, and the only time that I could be deprived away from the only thing I could be taken away from the door was when wrestling was on. If wrestling was on, I'd go up and watch it in my cousin Terry's house, that was the one adjacent from it. My nana's house, I'd sit and watch that, and then once it was finished, I'd go back down the stairs. So my nana kind of realised that. My nana kind of picked up on that, and for day one, my nana put all her money into wrestling. She bought me hundreds of wrestling. She got Sky for my own room, which back, so I was 6 at the time, so that's 23 years ago. So back in the year 2000, no many kids have got Sky in their own room at that time. That's a big expense, but my nana thought it was worth it, just so that obviously I wouldn't be miserable. We moved house to Des Moines, so I would stop sitting outside my mum's door, because obviously I used to tell my nana's heart, I used to break her heart, man. And then what else? So she bought me Sky in my room, she bought me all the wrestling figures, she'd buy me any DVDs. videos at the time, you know what I mean? So I had Sky, so I have wrestling pay-per-views, the big events that had happened every month, it'd be like a pay-per-view. They'd happen on a Sunday night and they'd be on at 1 in the morning, so then you would watch it through at 4 in the morning. So I'd usually have school, obviously, on Monday. My nana would let me stay off school so I could sit and stay up and watch the wrestling. She'd buy me all my little snacks and my juice and all that for it. She would do everything for me. She'd take me to shows, she would take me, not really many shows actually, but she would take me to shows, but I'd have all, because that's all we say about my wrestling company. I try and make the tickets very affordable so that people can afford to sit in the front row, because when I was younger, I didn't really have any money and I'd have to watch my shows up at the top of the place, and I just feel whatever, they should get the chance to sit front row, because it shouldn't just be people that have got money that get to feel like they stuff like that. But I'm digressing. But my nana done everything for me about wrestling, and I became obsessed with it, you know what I mean? It was my everything. And now that I'm older, and then my nana passing away again, I've watched wrestling all my life, but I wasn't as obsessed with being older once. Growing up, like when I was a teenager and that, it wasn't a cool anime, so I'd kid on, I don't watch it, but I was actually secretly still watching it in the house. And then just look, for example, I'd get like a girlfriend and she'd like, oh, I need kind of let her know I like wrestling and stuff like that, or things like that. So I'd always be annoyed. But then when my nana passed away again, that was when I was just all by, and that was my escape again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was what I did. But this time it just became an obsession. I wanted to go and become a wrestler. And then from there, it was just the goal of becoming a professional wrestler. It was kind of mad. I left my job as a welder because I kept getting hurt. And I felt like, well, if I keep getting hurt doing this, it's going to affect my wrestling, and all I want to do is be a wrestler. They all laughed at me when I actually told them that that's what I wanted to be. I told them I want to be a wrestler. The guys, you know, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you surely want to stay doing welding. That's like a really good job. Make good money. But I've never really been, my motivation isn't money. It never has been my motivation. My motivation is happiness. I lost my mother because she wasn't happy, and I grew up making my nana no happy, and I feel like, obviously I've sorted it now, but I was that took its toll on me mentally, you know what I mean? Like, getting older and realising actually how much my nana done for me and how much I threw it back in her face. So I'm in a good place with that now, but just like trying to be happy, and that is my ultimate goal. If I make £1 million doing it, 10 out of 10. But if I'm happy skin as well, does money really matter? You know what I mean? But that's so try to be a wrestler. I've lost so many jobs. I've quit so many jobs. I've had so many arguments with my partner, Georgia. She's definitely seen the hard side of me trying to live my dreams. Just because once I got into wrestling, it was just all I cared about. I just knew if I was going to do it, then I need to do it right. And if I want to make it successful, I need to put my all into it. So, like, say I get a phone call on a Wednesday asking to wrestle on Friday, but I had my job, and I said my job, well, I need Friday off. They would say, is all, you can't take Friday off. I'm not getting anybody to cover you. And I was like, I'm not asking for Friday off. I'm telling you now, I'm not going to be here on Friday. My dreams in life, when I was 4 years old, I didn't want to be a labourer. No, I mean, I didn't want to be a welder, I didn't want to be a charity fundraiser, I didn't want to work in a hotel, trying to just think all the jobs I had. I didn't want to be a hospital porter, I didn't want to work in a COVID lab, no, I mean, I didn't want to do it, I didn't want to clean the hydro. These are just all these jobs that people try to expect me to hod done because they've paid the bills and that, but because a lot of people wouldn't have the guts to just go, nah, you know what, I'm not doing this. I'm, because it has been hard a lot, you know what I mean? I definitely was this close to getting kicked out of my partner a couple of times and stuff, you know what I mean? Obviously mentally taxing her, where's the next pipe bill going to come through and stuff like that, just leaving jobs. Thankfully, it never got to that stage that we couldn't afford to pay the services, and obviously it's paid out, but for a while it was... the side that people don't see, you know what I mean? Like, now obviously people just see me doing all my stuff on TikTok, and they don't see the hard sides of it when you're coming up. But all of that, just to be a wrestler, and it's finally paid off now. I started my company, Community Pro Wrestling. So that's actually a funny story about me and my partner during COVID. She actually wanted, so the two of us were not arguing, but the two of us were like discussing what we want to do in the future. And she said she wanted to buy a house. And I was like, oh, I don't really want to buy a house. And I would like to buy a wrestling ring. So she ended up going and moving out and buying a house. And I went and started a wrestling company. And the two of us knew, obviously, we've got a rainbow house together, and we own a wrestling ring. We're actually just putting the deposit for a second wrestling ring. You know what I mean? So, that's all just because two is, I feel like a lot of couples, if somebody was to move out because they want something different, I feel they'd maybe part ways, but we never do that. We've always been quite strong together, and she's now on board with the wrestling as well. I'm not really sure. I'm not saying she was always on board with it, but I feel like now it's her life as well as it's mine's. But that's another story, because where was I? So Community Pro Wrestling, well, actually it's not, because she helped me. She has Community Pro Wrestling as well as I am. But during lockdown, so we got the rest. So I started with it. We started the company together as well, and that was just after lockdown. It was just something, it's in the name. There's been like wrestling shows in Govan and stuff like that, but no, we coming out of lockdown, the company that used to do them had shut down. So I'd said to my partners, my partner, we should run shows in Govan, because it would then, she said to her uncle, actually said to me about it, because he runs the place that they've done the shows, and I was actually offering other companies to go and do it. I thought they should go and do it, this company and that company, and he said, well, he'd rather us do it, because they would rather go to be in the family. Mm. So me and my partner, started the first show, and luckily, thanks to TikTok and stuff like that, it actually sold out. Mm. And then we ran another 5 shows the next year. They sold out. And then this year, we had a goal to run 12 shows. And at the weekend, we just ran our 24th and 25th show of the year. So it's going very good. And that's why we've actually bought a second wrestling. So we're looking to expand even further next year. But even off the back of that, it was because the name of the wrestling company is Community Pro Wrestling, because where I'm from in Govan, it used to be quite a big community place, so I would be able to walk into my neighbour's house, and my neighbour would be able to do the same, walk out my house, you'd know everybody in the streets would all be out, all the kids would be out playing, all the parents would be out talking, smoking their fags and doing whatever they were doing. And then just as years go on, it just kind of changed, didn't it? I feel like the more social media came about and stuff like that, people don't really interact with each other and stuff. So what I want to do with Community Pro Wrestling is I want to put on shows that bring community back to places that used to be quite a big community. So we started off in Govan, where I'm from, but now we're on shows in Drumchapel, Mount Vernon, which is like right next to Easter House. I know all these places, I can't think of them. Bermullock, Johnston, which is Paisley, we do shows in Ayrshire. Got shows coming up in Stirling, which is Ayrshire again. We've done shows in Peterhead. We do shows pretty much all over Scotland, and it's all trying to figure out places that are quite community driven. That's kind of the main goal of it, to bring communities back to the place and doing it through the form of art that I love, which is professional wrestling. And then off the back of the shows is how we opened the school, with all the parents from the wrestling, or the parents of the kids asking us about running wrestling classes for kids. And once we eventually got our own wrestling ring, that's when we could finally do that. And we got it in the place called the Parvel Hub.
Brilliant. Can I just say congratulations? That's a lot of things to achieve.
Sorry, I probably gave you tons of stuff. That's what I did tell you on the wee 30 second, the wee 30 minute.
That's okay.
I thought I just talk.
No, congratulations. That's a lot to have achieved in such a short time frame, actually, like 3 years.
2 years. The last 2 years. The show at the weekend was the 2 year anniversary show of our, from our very first show.
That's amazing. And I think, like, it's a testament to your determination to seeing your dream fall through, which is fantastic. Not many people can say that they've managed to, you know, unwaveringly go for their dream and manage to get it to the point that they've got it to now. And just an observation, I think it's really amazing that you've done something that feels like that sort of void that you were talking about in your own childhood, you know, people not having enough to do, and then following and into that path of like getting into trouble. You know, you're offering a solution here to young people's lives, which is really like admirable.
So a wee story about that. No, I'm terrible.
It's okay, this is your podcast.
Just because, it's not your podcast, you know. Just because you said that as well. There's me and my two tag partners, we call it the Govan team. It's me, my partners, and my cousin's Andrew, my best pal, Steg. And when we were younger, the youth workers and that, I'm actually a qualified youth worker myself as well, the youth workers would come around and ask kids doing like canvas and asking the kids what they want to do. And all the time, the three of us would say, wrestling, we want to do wrestling, that's what we want to do. And they're like, they probably did go away and try and ask people to do wrestling, but there's no, I'm literally the first wrestling school in Scotland that teaches kids from 5 years old and upwards, so there was nowhere for anything like this to happen. So they'd probably go away and try and find out stuff, but there was nothing for it to happen. So now, 20 years later, me, Xander and Steg, we run a wrestling school in Govan, where kids from not only Govan but all over Scotland are travelling to come and learn how to wrestle, because it's something that we didn't have as youngsters. So it's something that we're trying to provide now for people. So just because of the way you were saying that, I'm actually literally putting on something that I envisaged as a wee boy, because I always wanted to have somewhere that I could train. And then now that I'm older, me and my cousin and my pal would kind of have something that we always wanted. Because I always say, if I had this when I was younger, I would probably be in the WWE by now.
Mm. That must be such a rewarding thing, though, seeing all the people coming in and out of the doors.
That's the thing. Like, as I said, I'm not driven by money. See, if I never made another penny from my wrestling school, I'd still run it every day. As long as I don't start like hemorrhaging money, you know what I mean? When I'm paying for rent and nobody's coming, you know what I mean? But if, as long as I was to break even for the rest of my life, I would keep running it, because it's the best feeling ever. Like, see, with the wrestling school as well, most of the kids that come in, they're all shy, they don't want to, they've no friends with similar interests to them, their mums and dads can't get them into any sports or anything like that, their parents are worried about them. And then they come out of the wrestling school and 2 or 3 weeks, a month later, they're shouting, screaming, got hundreds of friends, their confidence is sky high, they're coming, they're telling me what they're doing, they're asking me what games to put, they do their entrances, and they're full of energy. So it's one of the most rewarding things ever. Like I say, in my wrestling school, before I build wrestlers, I build confidence, because at the end of the day, confidence is a skill you're going to need in your full entire life to try and get places. I'm not saying you need to be the most confident person, but you need to at least be confident enough to ask, like, go and ask your boss for a wage rise. Or go and ask for what you're due, and like, somebody's getting something that you'll know. Or, like, people don't just give you stuff in life. You know what I mean? You need to be able to be confident enough to get what you're owed. And I know it's a wee bit of that and off tangent there. I don't even know if it makes sense, but that's what I try and do. I just try and get, also, the wrestling skills, I'm building them like real social skills. Like, a lot of Wayans don't like losing, they'll start greeting and stuff like that. I give them out of trouble, you can't be like that, you know what I mean? Like, I'll just start greeting, they'll go, and then they'll look at me, they'll look, what are you doing? I'm like, it's a bit weird, isn't it? Not even just greeting for no reason. So that's what you look like now. Can't just greet because you lost, gone into primary school, you're going into this, you're doing that. No, I mean, you need to learn how to lose, it's just the way life is. I try and just teach them all these, obviously I teach them like, just what other things, I'm just teaching, like, I don't know, but I teach them a lot of things. And I just date through the art form of wrestling, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of kids, like, that's the thing as well with the wrestling school. Like, see if you're 5 years old and you want to go to any sport, and there's like something for you, there's boxing, dancing, football, rugby, badminton, hockey, all these things. You wanted it for wrestling, there was nothing, and wrestling is one of the most popular sports for kids. So I wanted to start a wrestling school, and through it I've got over 150 kids that come to the school, and I'm just trying to I'm basically like a role model to them, even though I don't want to, not that I don't want to be, so I don't mean that, but like, I never grew up thinking I was going to be a role model to people, you know what I mean? If I did, I wouldn't have made as many videos being as shouty and sweary and stuff like that back in the day, and acting like as much of an idiot as I had, but I'm our one now, and I take great pride in teaching these kids how to grow into the world and how to behave, and how to, I'm not saying their parents don't do that, but you know what I mean, like, how to behave when their parents aren't there,
and
stuff,
sure.
And how to be confident, how to just be their own wee characters, and I love getting to see them all coming and being themselves.
Amazing. I think that's a good way to segue into the third and final object that you've brought with you.
So the third and final object is, unfortunately, a picture. No, unfortunately, no, I mean, I love the picture, to be fair. It's I was going to have the actual item that it portrays, so I've got a big canvas here, but I just thought, I'm not going to paint a big, it's like,
yeah, it's quite big to bring into a podcast to do, like.
It is actually about the size of that. No, it's wide, but it's about the size of the table lengthwise. So I've got this picture. We'll just kid on, it's the canvas, but because it is a canvas, it doesn't want me. But this is a family photo. So this is me, my partner, Georgia, and my stepson, Bo. And this is the... So the three most important things that have all been, there's no particular order for these, in case anybody's watching and is wanting to say that I'm favouriting people. Well, if I'm going to be honest, my nana probably is number one, to be fair. But the wrestling, I brought that out, that's no number two. This is number two, if any. Well, my nana's not here, so if any, I don't need to say they're number one. But you know what I'm saying? This is my family, and ever since I was a wee boy and I lost my mum, I've always wanted a family. I didn't have a family, but I did, but it was me, my nana, and my sister. It's not exactly your conventional family. It's not exactly what you watch on the TV. You don't see on the... Well, you didn't see it on... I was growing up watching Cartoon Network and like that. Families are usually...
boy, nuclear mum and dad.
Aye, boy, girl, mum, dad, or at least a boy, or at least a girl and the mum and dad. So I never had dad, I didn't have a mum or a dad. I had my nana, who I blamed for everything, and I had my big sister, who was a tomboy. You know what I mean? So our family was not conventional whatsoever. But it's always my dream, that's one of the reasons. Just to fit in, just to be loved, to just to be... accepted. I always had this thing in my head as well, because my mum committed suicide. Always kind of blamed myself for it. Obviously, I know now, being older, but with depression is and stuff like that. And my mum obviously probably did love me a lot, and she did love me a lot, obviously. But she was just that not well, that she just couldn't handle what was going on in her head. So I just always wanted to be fit in. That's why I was probably in a gang for so long as well. I just always wanted to be that person, and now I finally go to the place that I do fit in, and I do more than fit in this place. I'm loved. Anytime I go home, obviously my wee boy, Bo, is my stepson, but he's my boy. You know what I mean? I've raised him for 10 years of his life, and my partner Georgia, who I've been with for the last 10 years of my life, They've saved my life, to be honest. If it with wrestling, because I met them just before wrestling, before I started becoming a wrestler. If it wasn't for Georgia bringing a bit of stability in my life, and my nana passed away, I don't know what would have happened. I already had spent years getting into trouble and being badly behaved when my mum died and stuff like that. And I wasn't in a good space when my nana died, so anything could have happened. But this woman and her wee boy saved me by taking me into their lives and looking after me, by loving me, by being the best two people I've ever known in my life. Georgia, I'll do anything for you. Take a fault, to be fair, because she'll just let it build up and build up, build up, and then she'll obviously blow up at me because I'm asking too much here, which I do know that I do ask too much here, but she just always says I do everything for me, and it's just, I can't help it. I wish, that's one of my biggest things I wish I could do. I wish I could stop asking so much here, and I wish I could do more for her. And then Bo, he's my best pal, he's my wee boy. For years people would always say, because me and Bo have got blonde hair and blue eyes, so it's quite obviously my partner has a type, you know what I mean? she's obviously got something she likes. Because a lot of people think Bo is just, he's my kid, like he's my child, but he's not, he is my stepson. And for years people would always, like, he didn't know how to, he's a kid, you know what I mean? So he didn't really know how to deal with it at first, because he obviously obviously he's in dad as well, you know what I mean? There's no any bad blood or anything like between anybody. Some people just split up, you know what I mean? So he obviously didn't dad, but like a lot of people would say he's my way and stuff like that. So even know how he acted, and I used to always just say to him, like even people call me stepdad, I just go, I'm not your stepdad, but I'm your best pal, you know what I mean? Like stepdads are stupid anyway, you'd rather just have a pal, I'm your best pal. So for years or two, he would say that, people, that's your dad or your stepdad, and that's not my stepdad, that's my best friend. I mean, that's David, that's my best friend. And then one day when we were in Jamaica, somebody said to him about being your dad, and he's like, that's not my dad, that's my stepdad. And I don't have ever been as emotional in that in my life. Yeah. I was so happy, overwhelmed, because obviously, like, for the ages I'd been, so it was up to him, that's what I was kind of going for anyway. If he'd never said it to me, it wouldn't have mattered, you know what I mean? If he'd never called me stepdad and that, cared, obviously, it's not something I was trying to push, but him saying that after he's in back, obviously, just was one of the best feelings I've ever had. And he's a wee wrestler, you know what I mean? He comes to my wrestling school, he actually helps me out on times, like for example on Sunday only two kids had came to the wrestling school on the very first class, because they'd all been to the show the night before, they were all probably shattered, you know what I mean? These two boys came down, so I was just like to Georgia, get him ready and bring him round, please. Why? And he's like, he was like, first, no, I can't be bothered going round. His mum's like, no, but David, did you know? He's like, right, cool, 2 seconds, jump up, clear his own, run round to the wrestling school to make sure his old stepdad was all right, you know what I mean? And help me with the class. Obviously it was easy pals and that anyway, so there's no, it wouldn't have been too hard for him, but just these wee things. He's just the best wee boy ever, man. And he's just very kind hearted. He's like a wee soul, know what I mean? That's what we always say. He still always wants me to walk him to school, and he's in P7, know what I mean? So I'm in two minds with it. I was like, obviously I never want him to like lose his innocence, but also he needs to I don't want anybody, any of these wee pals out and saying to him, no, I mean, I don't want, like, because Wayne's can be cruel.
Yeah.
So I don't want anybody, like, be picking on him or anything like that. But they don't, I don't think they do. I think it's, the one lucky thing is that I think I've got a bit of credit with the TikTok and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So I think he's...
It sounds as if he's got a proper little bond as well.
Like. Nah, you know, he's my best partner. Like, so my partner, George, I will say, for like, a joke sometimes to Bob, which Dave, me and David are splitting, I'm like, just go and stay with David. You know what I mean? So I'd probably say, maybe there's probably a couple of sticky situations where I'm like, leaving jobs for wrestling, or my partner, probably, George, would have left me. But Bo's probably said me, because he'd have came and moved in with me. You know what I mean? But no, they two are my favourite people in the world. I love them to bits. They're my wee family, and what I've always wanted. So I wish I could have brought the big canvas in. But no, but there's them there. They mean everything is. And a lot of people, like, so Georgia's got a TikTok and all that. Georgia's getting, let's see, well, when I first met Georgia, she was, so the two of us have done a lot for each other. So like, she, when I met her first, she was very, very shy, bad anxiety and stuff like that. And now she's coming really out of her shell. She's on like TikTok and stuff like that. She's not posting 24/7 like Amber, but she goes out there, talk, she's got like, quite a lot of followers, know what I mean, and stuff like that as well. And she's obviously like getting that because she sees me doing things, and then obviously like, she's helped me because I've got bad ADHD. She's like helped me try and be more focused, trying to be more organised. She helps me with everything with the wrestling company. She helps me with everything with the, she's, to be fair, the stuff that I help her with, there's like that amount, and then she helps me with that amount. She's the best person I know in my life. She does everything for us. So, all the people for the wrestling, not starting to notice, because she's like, she does all the. So I, in the wrestling company, I'll deal with all the wrestling side, and she does all the brainy, smart stuff side. Yeah,
sounds like a good little team, actually.
I know, we're definitely off. We're the Triple H and Stephanie McMahon of Scottish wrestling, I would say.
Nice one.
Do you know who that is? Not?
No idea. I'm not into wrestling at all, I'm afraid. But I'll look them up after this. I think that's quite a nice way to wrap this up, actually, talking about your little unit, like, and the importance that they have in you is amazing, actually. Like, the you keep saying that you don't do an awful lot for her, but it sounds like that you bring the best out in both of each other.
Oh, no, I would say that. She brings the best out of me anyway, I know that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I bring her best, I'll probably keep her on her toes, you know what I mean? Probably ask me, you know what I mean?
That's nice, though. That's what you want from a relationship, I think. You said that yourself, with your nana, you kept her on her toes, and like, look at the impact that you two have had on each other, you know, that's really powerful. The last kind of thing that we wrap up on this podcast with is asking, you know, if you were to give any sort of advice for another kid experience person who was thinking about coming on this podcast, what kind of advice would you give them? What would your sort of final note be on the podcast?
I don't really know how to say this, but I would just always say to anybody, if they get asked to do anything like podcast or anything like, not just people in care, just to anybody, to just go for it, to be comfortable and doing stuff that maybe makes you feel uncomfortable is one of the best things that you can. I always feel like I don't really get anxiety and stuff like that, but I always feel like being in the wrestling school, that's like, even the kids feel like they don't want to do something, they feel uncomfortable, and then I get them to do something and they do it. Mm-hmm. They always feel a bit better. So I don't know, this might not even be a thing, not even, but I'm just saying, like, so anybody that gets asked to do something that doesn't make them feel like they're comfortable or doesn't, I'd always suggest that they do it. And then if you do feel comfortable doing it, then I would also suggest coming to do it, because that means you can definitely help other people. You can obviously give on, like, so that's the reason I always do podcasts. Well, it's a bit different for me. I would always do podcasts to promote wrestling and get my story out. I like to promote wrestling because I want as many people, I think wrestling's the best thing in the world, so I want as many people to watch it to get there so they can understand how good it is. It's helped me through a bad place and it's helped other people through a bad place. And I think if people give it the full 100% attention for like just one show, they would enjoy it, definitely. And then secondly is to talk about myself, but the reason I talk about myself is because I've had quite a roller coaster in my life. I've had the lowest of lows and I've had the highest of highs, and a lot, my background that I come from, would be seen as coming from nothing. Came from Govan, one of the most poor areas in Glasgow. I've lost parents at a young age, kicked out of so many schools, all these things, and I've managed to turn all this into a success. So maybe, and I don't like saying my story is pure hard and that, but maybe even people that have still had hard lives, but maybe not as hard as me, then but they think, oh, they can't do this or they can't do that, they can do it. And even people with harder lives, maybe if you've got a goal in life, you can just chase it and you can achieve it. And that's why I go into podcasts, to promote my wrestling and to try and help. If I can help one person, and I don't mean just for every podcast, if just all the podcasts I do for my life can help just one person make something of themselves or get out of a bad rut or believe in themselves, then that's a good enough reason for me to go on all these podcasts and talk for hours, and then hopefully everybody's getting something for it. Yeah. That's my advice. I'd say, just if you're not comfortable doing it, but you've got a good story to tell, go and do it, because you might actually enjoy yourself. And if you, not even if you've not got a good story to tell, but you know what I mean, and you might not think you've got a good story, but the person's asked you probably does think you've got a good one. And then secondly, if you're comfortable, do it, because you might help somebody, and helping people is the best feeling ever, even if you've not done it before. Trust me, once you start helping people, it's a big, massive.
It's quite infectious, isn't it?
It's like serotonin boost or whatever the saying is.
Brilliant. I think that's amazing advice to leave on. Thank you so much for joining us on Objects. It's been a pleasure chatting to you.
Thank you very much.